Welcome to Rav Sacks' Summer Shiur. This is the second of the series. The learning should be for Refuah Shleima for Chaim Yisachar ben Chaya Mushkit.
We have left off discussing the mitzvah of Tochacha, the pasuk in Vayikra Yates, Tochiach, Tochiach es Amisecha. What are the parameters of the obligation to rebuke a fellow Jew when he's violating an aveira? And as we pointed out, when you look in two different Gemaras, you get very different impressions. The Gemara tells us, Nivamos in Daf Samachay, that Kishem Shemitzvah al Ha'adam Nomar Dabar Hanishma, that just as it's a mitzvah for a person to speak up when his words would be heard, Kach Mitzvah al Ha'adam Shalom Lomar Dabar She'eno Nishma. Sometimes it's simply a mitzvah to be quiet. Don't necessarily volunteer and give tochacha if your words will not resonate. And yet, what is somewhat difficult is the impression you get from that Gemara is always assess what the impact of your words will be, and if you see it will not be productive, and certainly if your words will be counterproductive in such a case, do not offer any tochacha at all. But yet, then you come across the Gemara in Erechin and after Zayin, and here the Gemara raises the question that ad heichon mitzvos tochacha, how far must one go in rebuking another individual? And the Gemara has three different views, machlokas between Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan maintains ad kedei nezifa, until you see that the person is getting angered, and then you stop. And Shmuel says that's not enough, that ad kedei klala, you have to keep on giving tochacha until the person is about to curse you. And Rav says that ad kedei haka, that keep on giving tochacha until a person is willing to give you a clap, and willing he's willing to smite you. In such a case, that is when you stop. And the Rambam, Perikvav Hochul Deos, passes like that view of Rav. So at hand, it seems that these two Gemaras are somewhat at odds. Isn't it obvious from all views, Rav, Shmuel, Yochanan, that somehow the tochacha is not having the desired impact? The person is getting angry, the person is about to curse you, the person is about to hit you. In such a case, it doesn't seem as though that the words are registering. Isn't it clear from that Gemara that nonetheless there is somewhat of a mitzvah of tochacha? So one possibility to resolve this apparent difficulty is based on what the Gemara tells us in Beit Sanda Flamid, and that is, it depends. That individual, is he doing so bemezid, or is he doing so Dishogeg? Was that something he is doing inadvertently, or it is something that a person is doing intentionally? If it is something that is inadvertent, that's what the Gemara tells us, that then we apply the principle of Mutav Sheishogegin Va'al Yehu Nizidin. After all, right now he's doing so, but he doesn't realize that it's wrong. So I will do him the favor, I will tell him that this is wrong, and he's going to continue the practice in any case. As a result of my Divrei Tochacha, my words of admonition, I didn't better the situation at all, but I made it far worse. So that's clear in the Gemara, that then a person should not give that form of tochacha. We pointed out, Rabbi Lucha said, right, that that is an example of Isra, b'fnei iver lo sitein mechshol. After all, the Gemara writes, Avodah Zarah and Davav, you're not allowed to give shreifos, machalos, osuros to a fellow Jew, and causing him to eat. How often do we do that? But yet, giving inappropriate tochacha, Rabbi Lucha said, right, that that also is an avera of lifnei iver. As a result of my admonition, his avera is more significant, more severe, more grievous, and as such, therefore, that is inappropriate. So that's one possibility. That the Gemara Yevamos that tells us that mitzvah al ha'adam shalom lomar davar she'eino nishma is talking about a case of shogeg, where the person does not know any better at all. But what about a case of mezid? Maybe one could, in fact, argue that then I'm obligated to give tochacha, even if I know that the words will not impact, but there's a cap, and that cap is either haka, or klala, or nezifa. I don't have to put myself at risk, but nonetheless, I have to give tochacha. That's the view, example of Avnei Nezer, Tav Samach Aleph, that a person is obligated to give tochacha, even if his words will not really be taken seriously at all, unless the person is doing so b'shogeg. And that's one possibility to resolve that contradiction of the Gemara. And Avnei Nezer writes, as we discussed in the last shiur, that even though isn't the purpose of tochacha to better the ways of that individual, but Avnei Nezer writes, Lo darshina and time medakra, even if that is the purpose of this mitzvah, but nonetheless, even if the reason doesn't apply, the Torah does tell us, Tocheach Tocheach es Hamisach. And as you recall in the last year, we discussed that one could disagree with Avnezer, arguing either that the reason for the mitzvah of Tochacha is found in the Pasuk, because when the Pasuk continues, Lo sisa alav chet, the Ramban writes that addresses the impact of the Tochacha. Or maybe one could argue, based on what Rosh Rai, Shit Mekubetzes, Baba Metzia, and Afzadi, and that is, if the reason is obvious, then everybody agrees that Darshinan time at Zikra. That was one possibility that we discussed in the last year. Another is the following, and this is what's found in the Ritva, in Yevamos and Daf Samechei, and that is, there's a difference between a Yachid as opposed to a Tzibur. That's the Chiddush that the Ritva writes. And interestingly, this is one of the distinctions that's quoted in the Halacha, Arachayim Simen Tav Reish Ches. Are you speaking to an individual, or are you speaking to the group, to the Rabbi? And here, the Ritva writes as follows. When you're speaking to an individual, that's when you apply the Gemara in Erech and Avta Zayin, that you're obligated to give Tochacha, either Ad Kedei Haka, Ad Kedei Klola, Ad Kedei Nizifa. You're obligated to give Tochacha to that person. But what about when you're speaking to the group? You're speaking to the group. Then, that's when we apply the principle of mitzvah al ha'adam shalolo mardavar she'eno nishma. That's the chiddush that the Ritva writes. It's somewhat unclear why that should matter. Why does it make a difference as to whether you're speaking one-on-one or whether you're speaking to a group as a whole? But that's the answer that the Ritva gives. Perhaps one can understand that in one of two possible ways. Maybe one possibility is as follows. There's the mitzvah of Tochacha. And Tochacha applies, as the Gemara writes in Erechin, even if your words are not going to have the desired effect. Tochiach, tochiach. One is obligated to go ahead and do so. But perhaps one could argue that's only true addressing an individual. After all, as the Pasuk continues, Tochiach, tochiach es amisecha. One-on-one, when you're dealing with a fellow Jew, then there's the mitzvah of Tochacha. And maybe the mitzvah of Tochacha would apply even if the person is not going to be so receptive. And therefore, even if a person is not listening, the Gemara in Erechin, Ad Kedei Haka, Ad Kedei Klola, Ad Kedei Nezifa, one is obligated to engage in Tochacha. Either because of Avnezer, that even if the reason is to better that individual, but nonetheless the halacha applies, or maybe one could argue if an individual is doing something which is wrong, someone should object. Someone should tell him that, you know, I'm defending Kvod Shamayim and telling you that that's inappropriate to do, and therefore there is a mitzvah of Tochacha. But maybe if the Pasuk says, Hocheach Tocheach Es Hamisecha, it only applies to Yachid. It doesn't necessarily apply when I am addressing an entire tzibur. Well, if that's true, what happens if I'm in a position to speak? I'll speak to my balabatim, and they will in fact listen. You mean there's no mitzvah of Tochacha? There one could argue completely different. If the words are going to resonate, if the words are going to impact, if they're going to heed your admonition, even aside from the mitzvah of Tocheach Tocheach Es Amisecha, simple arvus of Kol Yisrael Arev Mzadazes, some measure of communal responsibility simply dictates that a person should do whatever he can for the well-being of others. Even if there wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Tochacha. If a person is in a position, right, to raise the bar, and therefore you'll give a public shiur, and that will impact, well, of course one is obligated to do so. But if I know it's not going to impact, the obligation, according to the Ritva, to do so is only a function of the mitzvah of Tochacha, and the mitzvah of Tochacha is only a samisecha. That only applies if it's one-on-one. It doesn't apply to the tzibur as the whole. So the mitzvah Tochacha applies according to Ritva, even if the person is not so willing to listen. But the mitzvah Tochacha is only one-on-one. It doesn't apply to tzibur. But if people will listen, if the tzibur will listen to the Dibur Tochacha, even without the mitzvah Tochacha, the simple arvus would dictate that that is part of my responsibility. Or maybe one could argue as follows. Maybe the Ritva simply is underscoring that distinction of Yachid versus Tzibur in a more pragmatic fashion. And that is, what are the odds that my words will resonate? What are the odds that I will have a desired impact? Good.
So let's say, for example, you're dealing kind of one-on-one. You know what? Maybe the person will be somewhat hesitant at first. But you know what? There's a greater likelihood that your words will impact if you're dealing in a close sense with an individual. If you're dealing with an entire tzibur, imagine you have an entire tzibur, and the practice of the tzibur is to do this, and a person is going to get up and argue, one should not go ahead and do so. Maybe one could argue that the ritva feels that there, the likelihood of impacting is considered to be less. The first is the difference in lamdus. The mitzvah tochach only applies to yachid, not to rabin. The second is maybe pragmatically, the ritva feels that the likelihood that your words would impact are somewhat different as to whether you're dealing with a yachid or whether you're dealing with a tzibur. Start with the yachid. Kind of start one-on-one as opposed to the tzibur issue. It's always issue of balance and decision-making that the Rav, the Mordaster, always has to make kind of what is the theme of tochacha for the entire tzibur. Not always so clear to be able to kind of key in on an issue that will resonate, an issue that will have a positive effect on the tzibur. So that's another possibility. One is shogeg versus mezid. The other possible resolution to that apparent steer in the Gemara is yachid versus tzibur. That's the chiddush of ritva. A third possibility is very fascinating. This is found in Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Aleph in the name of the Ramach, Rabbeinu Moshe HaKohen. And the Ramach writes something, before I was in Rabbanus, I didn't fully understand this answer of the Ramach, and then you assume, I guess, a position of Rav of Akilah, and then it's something which is even clearer. The Ramach writes that, you know what, why is there a contradiction? Why is there a contradiction at all? You know, you give a fiery drasha, and what's the worst response? The worst response. The worst response is when no one says a word. No one responds whatsoever. Yeah, beautiful drasha. Wonderful. Good. You know, when someone kind of challenges you, and someone you see kind of reacts, even if they react in a somewhat vehement way, you know what that indicates? That kind of you hit a chord. Now that it does resonate. It does resonate. That's what the Shita Mekubetzes writes. If all of a sudden you give the Divrei Hachacha, and you see the person is responding, even if the response is Haka, or Klala, or Nazifa, all of that indicates that, you know what, you hit a chord. Right? There is some hope that the words are going to resonate. And that's the Shita Mekubetzes writes, that there really is no contradiction whatsoever. No? Because after all, when your words will have a positive effect, it doesn't always mean with that sense of immediacy. You'll get up, you'll say something, and that's it. Everything now is resolved because you spoke about it. No, not so easy. Sometimes it's a process, a learning process, over time. And sometimes when you engage the individual, even if at first he is somewhat resistant, but that's a major step, engagement. And therefore, that perhaps is an indicator that it's not simply that it is a davar she'eno nishma. That's the chiddush that the Shita Mekubetzes writes, and perhaps there isn't necessarily a contradiction at all. But these are the parameters that the Gemara tells us regarding this mitzvah of tochacha. When you look in the Bir Halacha, in this siman, in Arachayim, in siman Tav Reish Ches, here the Bir Halacha points out a few possibilities, and that is this. That number one, he quotes the name of the Bir Kiyo saying, that, you know, you have to know what the effect will be in terms of what are the societal pressures. And let's assume, for example, that in a given society, we will come down very hard on a particular practice. You know, if it's a very close-knit society, sometimes that the effect of that will be to better the person's ways. And sometimes, by coming across very strong, the impact is going to be that a person will just simply leave the fold. And therefore, it won't have that desired result. But he also writes, you always have to assess that what the impact of that tochach is going to be. Is it yadeinu takifa? In the sense that, as a result of our tochach, so therefore, people will be more meticulous? Or will the result be that people will simply go elsewhere? And therefore, one always has to measure what that result, in fact, would be. And the Bir Halacha also quotes the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that the Pasuk says, Hochiach, Hochiach es Am Yisrael. We pointed out on one level that amisecha means an individual. That's the ritual distinction. It's an iyachid as opposed to a tzibur. But amisecha has another connotation as well. And that is, amisecha implies a certain sense of commonality, a certain sense of closeness, no? And that is that the mitzvah tochacha is between individuals who have a common bond, a common friendship, where the words will resonate, even if not at first, but nonetheless the words will in fact impact. And no doubt, this is something that is critically, critically important. Simply to randomly give tochacha to one who is a stranger without knowing how the words will be received, whether it will have a desired effect, whether it will not have a desired effect. In such a case, one has to be very, very careful. But if it's amisecha, if it's clear that the words of tochacha are coming from a spirit of closeness and a sincere spirit of friendship, so that's the chiddush of Kripa Devarosa, that's why the pasuk uses that term of amisecha. The pasuk just simply could have told us that in the broader sense, there's a categorical mitzvah of tochacha. But it's clear that sense has to be felt. That it's not being done in any sense of one-upmanship. It's not being done to demonstrate any sense of a class distinction. But it's being done with a genuine sense of concern, with that spirit of kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. And if it's clear that it's being done with that sense of friendship of amisecha, no doubt that the likelihood that the words will resonate is something which is considered to be the much more significant and much more profound. Because otherwise, as mentioned, you always risk that possibility of nifneiva l'sita mikshal by giving that sense of an inappropriate tochacha. So of course, before you do so, you have to assess, is the person doing so b'shogeg? Is he doing so b'mezid? What the impact of our words are going to be? Is it going to bring a person closer? Is it going to further alienate the individual? And one, no doubt, always has to be very careful regarding that particular balance of how it is that one is able to channel and maneuver and navigate when you have some of those difficulties. Because, as Rabbi Yochai Chassid mentions, the downside is very great. Inappropriate tochacha can alienate with that avera of lifnei iver. Just as we mentioned that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of tochacha, that part of it is that which is ben adam achavero, to try to see to it that we can better the ways of an individual, but part of it is simply ben adam lamakom, defense of kavod shamayim. The same thing is true regarding that additional avera of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshel. No? One of the examples, an appropriate tochacha, but again, what are the parameters, what are the guidelines of, in a very literal sense, causing another Jew to sin? And here the Gemara gives us various examples of lifnei iver, lo sitei mechshel. The Gemara writes in Avodah Zarah and Davav, write the following application. Imagine, for example, that there is a nazir. And the case in the Gemara is Trei Avrei Denahara, he's on the other side of the riverbank, and the wine is out of his reach, it is not accessible, and I go ahead and I toss him a bottle of wine, and now he will go ahead and partake. So in such a case, I will violate the Gemara's Yisra of Lifneiv, and the Sitei Mirsha. And the Gemara writes another example, I will go ahead and supply a guy with Eivir Menachai. Eivir Menachai is one of the Shev Mitzvos, but Lifneiv is not limited to Jew, but even Jew to non-Jew as well, causing a non-Jew to stumble, but also is considered to be my Torah prohibition of lifnei iver l'sitei mechshel. So explicit in the two examples that the Gemara gives, yayin to another, eiver menachai to a guy, that it applies to Jew and non-Jew alike, which is somewhat surprising, because if you look in Sefer HaChinuch, or you look in the Rambam Tzvan, and Sefer Mitzvos, and Reish Tzadites, here the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam write that the Isser of lifnei iver l'sitei mechshel is shelo lahachshu ben Yisrael ve'etzara. A person is not to give a fellow Jew ill advice. Where did that come from? Giving inappropriate advice is considered to be part of lifnei iver l'sitei mechshel. That's the Gemara a little bit later, now, but it's on Daf Tezvav, where the Gemara writes that you're going to go ahead and give a person terrible, terrible advice. The person considers you to be an expert, and you're going to advise him to invest all of his funds in this particular stock, and you know, right, that it's going to crash. So in such a case, the Gemara writes that also is an aver of lifni velo sikin mechshol. One is in the realm of mitzvos and averos, and the other simply is in terms of eitzah and eitzara, that is considered to be lifni velo sikin mechshol. You know, there is a difference, however, between the two. And that question that I raised, lifni velo sikin mechshol, is that an aver which has been adam l'makom? Is that an aver which has been adam l'chavera? See, on the one hand, one could argue, no, but adam l'chavera? I'm going ahead and encouraging my fellow to do something which is inappropriate, or to invest his money with incredibly inappropriate investments. In such a case, isn't that a level of an aver which has been adam l'chaver? So maybe one could argue that causing a Jew to sin is no different than an eitzara. It applies to investment. It applies to mitzvos and averos as well. Or maybe one could argue in the realm of mitzvos and averos that already is an aver which is ben adam lamakom. In other words, it's as though that I am partnering. I become a shutaf in that maisa avera. And therefore, you know what? If the nazir will go ahead and drink wine, a terrible avera, ben adam lamakom, but if I'm the facilitator, if I'm the provider, so in such a case, you know, I also have a heavy hand in that particular avera. So maybe the iser of lifnei v'lositen mechshol has an element which is then adam l'makom as well. And maybe one could distinguish, maybe one could argue that the element of eitzara, that is ben adam l'chavero. But lifnei are in the realm of mitzvos naveros, that is something which is ben adam l'makom. And maybe one could suggest exactly that distinction. That when it comes to the element of lifnei ben adam l'makom avera, that's the Gemara's example of Eber Menachai to an Achri, that applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. But maybe when it comes to the element of Eitzara, maybe that is an obligation which is ben adam l'chavero, where that's the chiddush that the Rambam writes. There are differences between Jew as opposed to non-Jew. But that distinction highlights that maybe there are two elements, too. Lifnei v'lo sitei nechshol, one is that you're doing a disservice to that individual, but also that you're partnering, you have a heavy hand in that particular avera itself. An interesting issue. Lifnei v'lo sitei nechshol. You're not allowed to encourage, to facilitate, to provoke an individual to violate, let's assume, a Torah prohibition. To what extent should we argue that lifnei iver takes on the characteristics of the avera at hand? In other words, maybe one could argue as follows. Lifnei iver sitei nechshol simply means that one is not allowed to facilitate avera. You know, it doesn't really matter so much whether it's avera A, avera B, avera C. This is the simas nechshol. And therefore, this is what I would call a mitzvah klalis, that it's one umbrella, sir. Do not encourage someone to do that which is inappropriate, that which is wrong. Or maybe one could argue, no, that lifnei v'lo sitei nechshol means that it's as though that I am viewed as a partner in the avera at hand. Let me ask you the following. I encourage one person to eat something that's not kosher. In Isser Lav, terrible. I encourage another person to eat Machalos Shabbos. In Isser Skila, The avera of Shabbos versus Nevela, Shabbos is more chamor. What about when it comes to lifnei iver? Is the lifnei iver of Shabbos more chamor than the lifnei iver of Nevela? In other words, is it both simply an Isra provocation? Or when one argues, no, that's not true, that the Isra lifnei iver takes on the characteristics of the very avera at hand? Interesting possibility, no? That's a fascinating machlokas between the Balamor and Ramban and the Sugin Sanhedrin daf Ayin Dalet. To the extent that the Balamor seems to argue that lifnei iver of yehareg vayavor is yehareg vayavor. A person will go over to an individual and say, you know what, that you must provoke this person to violate arayas. And if you don't, I will take your life. Does lifnei iver of arayas have the status of yehareg v'ayavon?
does lifnei iver of avodah zarah have the status of yehareg vayavo? The Baal Amor writes, absolutely yes. The Baal Amor writes, it certainly does. But after all, lifnei iver means that you're partnering in that avera. Whatever is true of that avera, that is true of the lifnei iver of. You have a hand in that act. And the Ramban disagrees, maintains that's not true. Certain averas are yehareg vayavor, but lifnei iver is not. Lifnei iver, even of an avera chamura, is not considered to necessarily be the same as the one who violates the avera at hand. You know, the Kveger raises this issue. The first mission in the Sefer Shabbos tells us the following: to violate Nisra Chotzah on Shabbos, you have to do an akira. You lift the chepetz, ashin reshus, you transport it from one area to another, and then you do anachi. You place it down. Good. Let's assume, for example, you do the akira, you do the ashin reshus, you do the hanacha. Where was the hanacha? I stuck out my hands. And you place the object in my hand. So in such a case, the Mishnah tells us that, look, you did everything. You did this little Shabbos. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do an Akira. I didn't do a Shin Rishus. I didn't do a Hanacha. So the Rosh is very bothered. You didn't do anything? Weren't you a facilitator? By sticking out your hands and receiving the Chefetz, you know, that culminated in the little Shabbos. How can you say that the recipient is innocent? So the Rosh writes,
no, it doesn't say he's innocent. He didn't violate an Isra Chotzah. But he is guilty. Because by receiving the Chefetz, that's an Avera of Lifnei Iver. Lo, Sitin Nechshon. That's the Kiddush. What's that? Right. That's what the Rosh writes. It's not called the Malacha on Shabbos, but it is, right, Lifnei Iver. So the Rosh writes that Kiddush. Rabbi Kveger writes, the first Mishnah of Sefer Shabbos, the regular Mishnah, is Tosfos Rabbi Kveger. Rabbi Kveger writes, the Nafka Mina Yeshvo. I'll say, what difference does it make? Whether it's Shabbos or Lifnei Iver? The bottom line is, he did something wrong. No. A person who is a Mumer L'Chalo Shabbos is a Mumer L'Chalo Torah Kula. But Lifnei Iver of Chilo Shabbos will not render the person as a Mumer L'Chalo Shabbos. In other words, we view Lifnei Iver as an independent avera, not as an act of Chil Shabbos. That's the Chiddush that Rabbi Kveger writes. It's a very interesting possibility. Whether Lifnei Iver takes on the characteristics of that avera, or whether, in fact, this does not. I would link this to the following interesting issue. The Gemara tells us, Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Gimel, that if a person violates the Lost Asay, Malchus. But the Gemara has the following principle. Anything which is called alav shebichlolos, ein lokim alav. There's no malchus in a case of lav shebichlolos. What exactly is lav shebichlolos? The Gemara gives the following example, Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel, and that is a single pasuk that has multiple isurim. So for example, the Gemara calls the pasuk of losochu al hadam. From that pasuk, we derive many different prohibitions. One is in reference to dam. The other, the Gemara writes, is that the Sanhedrin is not allowed to eat on the day that they're putting someone to death. The Gemara writes in Brachos and Daf Yud, because of those sochla hadam, you're not supposed to eat before davening. The Rambam counts that in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Shoresh Tes, as being a Torah prohibition. Yeah, Chiddush. So many different prohibitions derived from the single pasuk that does not generate the chiyuv of malchus. The Tosfos is bothered by a pretty basic question. The Tosfos Sanhedrin does samakim. A person does malach on yantet. The onesh is malchus. How do you get malchus for chilul yantet? Isn't chilul yantet an example of lav shebichlolos? The Torah says, "Kol malaches avodah lo tasu." And I ask you, what exactly does that mean? Don't do malacha. So you're going to tell me, what does it mean? Well, it means you can't write, and you can't sow, and you can't reap, and you can't harvest. Aren't there many Isurim that are derived from the pasuk of Kol Malaches Avodah Lo Tasu? So how can you get Malchus on Yom Tov? Why isn't that a violation of Kol Lav Shebichlolos Ein Malkin Alav? So if you look in Sefer HaMitzvos in Shoresh Tes, the Ramban writes this terence. Ramban writes that, you know what? Lav shebichlolos is only when you have different shemos ism. It's only when you have different averos, not when you have just different examples of the same Avera. You know, it's a fascinating issue. We're looking for a separate shiur. What is the relationship between Malacha A and Malacha B? A person writes on Shabbos and a person plants on Shabbos. Are those just two different examples of the same Avera? Of Lo Sasach HaMalacha? Or should I argue that's not really true? You know what the language of the Tosus Rit is? Tosus Rit Shabbos Kufan Eches? Ki ilu ksiv lav akol malacha umalacha. That's the language of the Tosus Rit. That it's as though there are 39 Isurim on Shabbos. Every malacha has its own Isur. Interesting finish. So the Ramban writes, no. When it comes to Yantif, there's one Avera, Ko Malacha Sevod Lo Sasach, with different manifestations, different examples of Malachas Avoda. But it's one Avera. One Avera. That's not called a Lav Shebecholos. Lav Shebecholos requires that you have to have independent Averas. Good? You with me? So when the Rambam lists an example, Lav Shebecholos, from Sefer Mitzvah and Shoras Tes, you know what the Rambam writes as an example? Lifnei Iver. There is no malchus for the aver of lifnei iver lo siti nichshol. Why is that true? It's a classic example of lav shebecholos. In other words, lifnei iver is not just simply different examples, but different isurim. In other words, lifnei iver of Shabbos, lifnei iver of Neveva, is not just different examples of the same isur. Don't provoke a person to do something which is inappropriate, but no, much more than that. Lifnei Iver of Shabbos is in the category of Tfilah Shabbos. Lifnei Iver of Avera means I'm a shutef, I'm a partner in the Avera of Neveila. And therefore, perhaps that's an indicator from that Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos that Lifnei Iver takes on the characteristics of the Avera at hand. Again, is Lifnei Iver just provocation? And how you provoke a person, I can think of many examples. Or no, it means shutfus in my saver. Let me give you the following interesting example. Not so clear in the Gemara. I provoke a person to do an avera. But you know what? I fail. He doesn't fall for the bait. He doesn't violate the avera. I keep on putting the obstacle in front of the blind person. And somehow, he keeps on walking around it. He doesn't fall. No? Is that an Isra Lifnei Iver? In other words, is the Isra Lifnei Iver the Simas Nichshol? Lifnei Iver Sita Nichshol. Don't bait, don't provoke. Or do I argue, no, that's not true. Lifnei Iver means that, you know what, we're going to hold you responsible for the Avera. Meaning what? When the Avera is done, what, you're going to claim innocence? Sitkes, we're going to say, no. Look, he violated the Avera, but undeniably, and you facilitate it. No, and therefore you also bear a measure of responsibility. But when is all that true? When the Avera is in fact performed. When the Avera is performed. A little bit unclear from the Gemara. You know, the Gemara has a fascinating example of Lifnei Iver, the Sugya Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara tells us the following, that Rav Huna wanted to test the character of his son Rabbah. You know what he did? He took shirayim, he took silk, right, that belonged to his son Rabbah, and ripped it, right, in his presence. And he wanted kind of to see, well, will he maintain his composure, or will he become angry? No? So the Gemara asked the following question. How could he do that? How could the father, right, Rav Huna, bait the son Rabbah? The Lashon HaGemara is Dilma Parasa, that maybe Rabbah would have become angry, and the ka'avar lifnei the sita nichshol. Maybe that Rabbah would have yelled out at his father, how could you do such a thing? And all of a sudden, the father would be guilty of lifnei the sita nichshol. How do you read that line in the Gemara? Dilma karasa. Does dilma karasa mean if and then? Only if Rabbah would become angry, then it's an issur of lifnei iver? Or do you argue no, that since there's the possibility that Rabbah could become angry, so therefore, categorically, that's an avera of lifnei iver l'sita nichshol. Is the provocation, the baiting, is that considered to be the avera? Or do you argue that no, if the blind person falls, we're going to hold you responsible for that. But until, right, the avera is done, or until that undesired result occurs, in such a case, there's no Aveira, there's no leaf naive of Aveira. See, maybe to some extent that hinges on our issue. If it means you're a shutaf in the Maisa Aveira, you require a Maisa Aveira. If it just means the Torah says, don't give ill advice, don't provoke, the provocation itself is considered to be that which is Aser. The Chazon Ish writes, in your lesson in some of days, that you need an Aveira. You need an Aveira. When the Aveira is done, now we can take a step back and ask ourselves, to whom do we attribute this Aveira? Right? The person who does the Aveira, true, but also the one who provoked the Aveira. But if there's no Aveira, there's no leaf neighbor. And Rabbi Chaim Ozer disagrees. In Yardayim Simon Samach, hey, Rabbi Chaim Ozer disagrees and maintains that, not true. The provocation alone is considered to be that which is forbidden. An interesting machlokes, that perhaps, again, that fits in with our issue. Now, I'll tell you the following chiddush. That case in the Gemara, Avodah Zarah Davar, right, you have this nazir, right, and this nazir really wants to drink wine, but it's out of reach. And I go ahead and I toss him, right, a bottle of wine, right, and lo and behold, he drinks. He drinks the wine. No? So the Gemara writes, no, that's a nazir. Of leaf neither, we'll see him next show. So I'll ask you the following.
When the nazir drinks the wine, what aver exactly is violated? So maybe one could suggest the following. That, look, the nazir drinks the wine.
He violates nisr of the nazir drinking the wine, no doubt. He violates his nazirus. Good, I understand. But according to the Chazon Ish, maybe one could argue, ooh, there's a second aver now. Because by drinking, he has caused the provider to violate the isra of Lifnei. No? So now, by drinking, that's an isra of Lifnei. Because now he was machshil the moshit. No? Interesting possibility. Now, if you're going to argue like Rav Chaim Ozer, that provocation is also good. Regardless of what he fell for, he drank, he didn't, doesn't matter. The fact that you put him in that situation, that itself is also. But if you assume you only violate Lifnei when the Aveira is done, could one really argue? Therefore, every time the Aveira is in fact done, that's Nisra Lifnei as well. And maybe that cycle could continue back and forth. Right, that's true. But in other words, sometimes we assume right, that concept of a zev is zev. But it's clear in the sense that if one will go ahead and do so, so now I am held responsible for them. If he wouldn't, he wouldn't. So one could no doubt raise that issue. Is that considered to be an element of isimas mitzvah? A fascinating possibility.
You know, Tosus is bothered. That Gemara that I mentioned, Kedushin Aflamed Beis, you know, inappropriate parenting. Ooh, we have to be very careful. Now, we think of Lif Neiva. How often do you give Iver Menachai to a guy? Now, how often do you give wine to an Azir? Probably very rarely. Now, how often, the Gemara Kedushin Aflamed Beis, how often does a parent date the child?
No? Bait the child. Now, that's the Gemara's case. So, Lif Neiva. That the parent can go ahead, a Rebbe can go ahead and bait, and the child can respond inappropriately. Good. Not justified, but the Gemara says Dumakarasa. Maybe the child can become angered and act inappropriately, and the belief neither the Sita Mersha. And the adult, the parent, violates Nisidaraisa. Violates Nisidaraisa of Leaf Neiva. It's an important Kiddush, no? In other words, that one has to be so careful, because without justifying the action of the child, the student in the life, but you know what? The measure responsibility is borne right, by the parent, by the Rebbe, for setting up that situation. According to Chazon Ish, if the child acts inappropriately, according to Chaim Ozer, the child is tzadik gamur. He doesn't respond. But still, the baiting, the provocation, even that is considered to be that which is aser. So the Gemara raises the following issue. How could Rav Huna have done so? How could he have baited his son Rabba? Dilma Karasa? Maybe we'll become angry. In the Kabbalah, may even those sit in Mishnah. So the Gemara answers that Rav Huna, the father, was mochel the son. What are we afraid of? That he ripped the shirayim, and maybe the child would lash out against the parent? Terrible, a breach of kibbut avim. So the Gemara answers, he was mochel. He was mochel. Okay. Tosfos was bothered by the problem. Good, the parent was Mocha. Did the child know that the parent was Mocha? Did the child know? If the child was unaware, or the son was unaware that the parent was Mochel, so isn't that similar to the Hashem Yislacha? That's Tosus' comment. No? A woman goes ahead and makes a neder, and she goes ahead and violates the neder. Good? Lo and behold, it turns out it was no violation whatsoever, because unbeknownst to her, right, the Baal was made for the neder. The Baal was made for the neder. So there was no neder. So it turns out she made a neder. She will not eat. It turns out that there was no neder at the time that she ate. But nonetheless, the Torah tells us, Vashem Yisbacha. Right? She needs kapara. Why she needs kapara? Because there was an element of machshava sachet. An element of machshava sachet. No. All right. When Rabbi Kiva came to that pasuk, no, Vashem Yisbacha. Well, Rabbi Kiva started crying. No, after all, Machshava sachet requires kapara, not only a chet, a machshava b'chet. Even that, you know, Rabbi Akiva's insight was kind of unbelievable. Now, you know, Rabbi Akiva is the one who laughed at the Churban Habayis. The one at the very end of Machlus, the Yerushalmi writes, when Rabbi Akiva was put to death, Asur Malchus, in such a case, V'hayir Rabbi Akiva mitzachek. Now, he was rejoicing, right, that he was able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And when does Rabbi Kiva cry? When he comes to Pasuk of Hashem Yitzchak. Well, now when we cry, Rabbi Kiva's response was to laugh. When we don't even notice, Machshava Sachet, that's when Rabbi Kiva feels that, how can it be? No, in that instance, that was part of the greatness of the perception, right, of Rabbi Kiva, right, seeing, right, beyond the limited vision of that typical people would see in these instances. So again, so in that case, machshava sachet. So Tosfos points out that even if the parent is Mocha, Rabbah was Mocha Rabba, but was Rabba aware of this? Was Rabba aware of this? So Tosfos writes, he must have been. He must have been aware of the Mechila. Because if he wasn't aware of the Mechila, what kind of test is it? If the child knows that the parent was Mocha, it's still a test, no? What is the knee-jerk reaction? What's the impulsive reaction? No? That's what Rav Huna was trying to determine. But an interesting chiddush. So, a very great chiddush in Tosfos. And that is, the Gemara says, isn't this a leaf ne'iver? Isn't this a leaf ne'iver? The Gemara says he was Mocha. But Tosfos says that's not good enough. You have to inform him of the Mechila. Because otherwise, that would be a leaf ne'iver of Machsheva Sachet. Wow. No? He didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't know that there was Mechila. There's Lifneiver even on such a case. You can't provoke a person to do something that, you know what, really wasn't wrong, but he wasn't aware of it. He wasn't aware of it. No? Interesting. Chiddush. No? That's what Tosfos writes. Lifneiver of HaMachsheva Sachet. Well, Shlomo Zalman quotes this. Mincha Shlomo, Simen Lamed Hei. Shlomo Zalman gives two very interesting examples. He writes the following. Let's say a case where, during the day, a Jewish repairman, in Eretz Yisrael, now is coming, right, to service some appliance in the house. Good? So the housewife, right, greets him at the door, lets him in to go ahead and do so, closes the door. The woman knows that this is not an issur yichud. Because by the ear, the woman knows her husband is next door, next block, now two blocks away. She knows that there's no iser of yichud whatsoever. But wait a second. What about the repair guy? Is he aware of this? Is he aware of this? So Shlomo Zalman writes, quoting this Tosfos, that she has to inform him. She has to inform him that my husband is next door, my husband is next block. The fact that he's there and it's not an iser of yichud does not mean that it's not an isra of lifnei either. Because if he is unaware, and he should make a point of being aware, in such a case, that would be a lifnei either of machshava sachet. Well, that's what Shlomo Zalman writes in Siman Lamed Hei. Or, for example, Shlomo Zalman writes another example. A person just goes into a restaurant, a Jewish person, right, and he just eats there, you know, without the due diligence, without asking to see the teuda, without asking about the heksher, without seeing that it's an appropriate place to go and eat. I'm the store owner. Now, I know the heksher is a very, very good heksher. Good. I know he's eating, right, perfectly appropriate, but he didn't inquire. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Raya said, Chiddush, no, that the restaurant owner is obligated to tell him that this restaurant has the finest hashgacha. Because if not, if he did not do his due diligence, then that would be an Isra Lifnei. Well, Lifnei Iver, not of Nevela, Lifnei Iver of Machshava Sacheis. Lifnei Iver of Tosus' case, where Rav Huna was Mocha Rabba Berei, but Tosus says, Rabba has to be told that that's true, because if he kind of is unaware of that, therefore, that's Nevera of Lifnei Iver. Interesting possibilities. So this is what we'll have to discuss a little bit over time, but the details of Lifnei Iver Mit Hashem in the next year, we'll discuss again cases, halacha l'maisa, very important, the parameters of Lifnei Iver, beautiful chiddush that Rabbi Kiveger has, and we'll have to speak about some practical applications. Rosh Shlomo Zalman also addresses this, and Simon Lamed, hey, you mean well, you know, you're inviting a non-from Jew to your home to experience Shabbos and so on. How do you balance the upside of the hopefully positive influence that you'll have with the possible downside of the Chilul Shabbos in the attempt, in his coming, his going, and so on? How exactly do you balance those particular issues? Having someone in your home, feeding them where you know they're not going to make a bracha rishona, not make a bracha achrona. How do you kind of balance, right, those particular competing factors? Right, the willingness on your hand to reach out, but also the realization that the process of doing so may be facilitating, right, an aveira. So we'll have to discuss, right, these particular cases. Okay, I think next week, I think we're off on Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Hashem, okay, a week from tonight.
In the case of the restaurant, the tools are hanging on the wall good enough?
Yeah, if it's known. I mean, if it's known, and he sees that...
the